I cannot tell you how excited I am, John.
Well, obviously, you were up at 7 o'clock Texas time. What the hell?
You know what? I have no idea what happened. I woke up at 7 o'clock. I called Chris Morales because I was lonely for a friend, according to him.
Apparently.
And then I hit the vending machine and got me some oats and honey granola bars. And that knocked me back out.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
I've honestly got like chills thinking about tonight. It's an unbelievable night to be an LA sports fan, a chance to close out the first World Series in 32 years, and I get to be here for it. It's going to be a really interesting matchup, Blake Snell versus Tony Gonsolin, who we hope will get a better outing than we did the last time. But I feel very good about tonight, John. I feel very good.
Mace, I know you predicted Dodgers in 7, but they're going to end this tonight. The Rays have just released their lineup.
Yes.
Okay, so, all right, I'm not saying that you've got to be like the 27 Yankees, but here's their lineup. G-Man Choi leading off, who is their first baseman who looks like he's had a few pizzas.
By the way, who is like the most nimble first baseman I have ever seen?
I was going to say, he seems to be one of those really talented fat guys. You know, he can do
He's some combination between, he's got some Simone Biles in him.
Yeah, exactly. So, but he's leading off tonight. He's batting .263 in the World Series. So, you know, he's doing okay. Randy Arozarena second. He's batting .370 in the playoffs with 9 home runs and 13 RBIs. I mean, he's just a wrecking crew.
Give him nothing.
Yeah,
give him nothing.
That's why you put him second. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Austin Meadows is the DH. Now, Austin Meadows in the postseason is batting .125. .125. Brandon Lau, who's batting fourth, is batting .123. That's their 3-4 hitters. .125.
Okay, can we take those for a second? Yeah.
Yeah.
Take those for a second. So Austin Meadows, I don't understand. He's left-handed, so I know they wanted a left-handed bat against Tony Gonsolin, but he batted .205 during the regular season. Lau, I completely understand. He batted .269 with 14 homers that led the team
and
37 RBIs
in the postseason. But let me ask you this. Isn't Kevin Kiermaier left-handed?
Yes, Kevin Kiermaier is left-handed.
So Kevin Kiermaier is in the lineup. He's a really good defensive center fielder. He in the postseason, he's batting .250 with 3 home runs and 7 RBIs, including a home run earlier in the series against the Dodgers. I mean, you follow baseball closer than me, but why not bat Kiermaier third and put Meadows seventh or eighth?
They feel good about Meadows. They use him in the leadoff spot an awful lot. I've not seen this lineup from them. I've not seen G-Man Choi at the top of the lineup.
Okay, so
Meadows batting second.
So Manuel Margot is batting fifth. That makes sense. He's hitting .296, 5 home runs. He's been really good for them.
He's been great.
Joey Wendell batting sixth, .200 in the postseason. Willie Adams batting seventh, batting
Adamas.
.145.
Yep.
.145. Kiermaier batting eighth, .250. And then Mike Zunino, the catcher, batting ninth, hitting .160. Okay.
Okay.
Mace, these guys are not, I mean, we all think Tony Gonsolin is going to get lit up and it's all going to fall on the shoulders of Walker Buehler in game 7. I'm telling you, the Dodgers could win this tonight. The Dodgers are favored tonight in Las Vegas.
Well, here's the thing, John. The Dodgers, chances are whoever the Rays put in the lineup has not been hitting well because the Dodgers are out hitting them in this series, .264 to .228. The Dodgers have more home runs, 11-8, more doubles, 9-5, more walks, 23 walks to 14, and fewer strikeouts, 50-54. They even have more stolen bases than the Rays do in the series, a team that is notorious for playing small ball. So the Dodgers literally lead them in every single category team-wise. So constructing a lineup has got to be difficult when you've got a whole bunch of cold guys.
Right. And so what do? They double down on cold.
Yeah.
And they bat a .125 hitter who hit .200 during the regular season, Austin Meadows, in the 3 spot. Now, maybe they're looking at some type of analytical. They're very analytically driven.
Yes, team. They are.
They do a lot of stuff that you say, how did that team make it as far as they did? So they may know things that we don't. But this does not put the fear in God, as a Dodger fan in me. I think the Dodgers could. I played golf this morning, and everybody I ran into said, so you think it's going seven? Tomorrow night's the night, blah, blah. I'm like, no, tonight's the night. They could win tonight. And everybody's it's a bullpen game. It's not a bullpen game. Tony Gonsolin is going to pitch four innings, and then you get to the bullpen. And I honestly believe that they're going to win this thing tonight.
Oh, God, I hope you're right. Oh, I hope you're right.
Now, what
By the way, Gonsolin, regular season in his career, 86 innings, 260 ERA, and a .92 whip. In the postseason, 7 2/3 innings this year, 9.93 ERA, and a 1.7 whip. So his regular season was totally solid. It's just in the postseason that he's been a gas fire.
Right. And maybe May and Gonsolin weren't ready for the moment. Maybe that's the thing. But if he starts struggling, you just take him out.
Yeah.
I just think the Dodgers have a legitimate chance to win it tonight. Don't you?
I absolutely do. I absolutely do.
Now, when is your return flight scheduled? I was thinking about this.
My return flight is scheduled for 9 a.m. either tomorrow or
No, but
Thursday.
What is it right now? Is it tomorrow or Thursday?
Right now it's tomorrow. Now it's tomorrow.
So that's risky. Because, although it's you're betting on your own team, but here's why it's risky. If it goes seven, and this is what you have to pay attention to tonight while you're at the game, because I've done this dance, for 20 years working at KCAL.
Yep.
If it looks like the Rays are going to win the game, get on the horn to the airlines tonight because think about it. Every Dodger fan, the series ends Wednesday night, no matter what. So everybody's going to try and get on that 9 a.m. Thursday morning.
Yeah, that's
true. And the problem with you is you have radio, so you can't just take the next flight. You could get stuck there till Friday.
No.
So what you should do is tonight in like the seventh inning, you make a call. You say, okay, I'm hanging on to my flight tomorrow morning or I'm switching it to Thursday because a lot of people are going to switch to Thursday.
Yeah, I would imagine so. In a big hurry.
And then you'll get stuck in a middle seat between two guys, that are 300 pounds.
Yeah, between Bill Plunkett and Bill Plachke. How awful would that be? Between the Bills,
I can pretty much sit in any seat on a plane. I'm not picky. So when I used to travel with UCLA when I was doing sidelines for them, they would say, well, nobody wants to sit in that middle seat between the two biggest offensive linemen. And I would just go, I'll take it. I really don't care. But you are more particular than me. You will not want to get stuck between
two. I need me an aisle seat. I don't care about first class, business class, none of that stuff, but I want me an aisle seat. That's the one thing I ask for. And I got really lucky coming here because there was an open middle seat. They're not keeping middle seats open anymore. Plane was pretty full.
What airline are you flying?
American. And that flight's going to be very full going back. There's no question. You know who I was looking at, John? And we were talking about MVP yesterday and who the MVP of this series would be.
It's Seager.
It's
Corey Seager.
It is close, though. It's closer than you're thinking. It's Seager, but there's somebody who is a little bit unheralded on this team. And I will tell you who that is.
And it's
next.
Not Kershaw?
And it's not Kershaw. There's somebody who is unheralded on this team. I'll tell you who it is next. Plus, we should work in some phone calls. We got an unbelievably busy show because it is an unbelievably important day in the history of Los Angeles
sports. This could be a day that goes down in that you'll remember for the rest of your life. October 27th, 2020. This could be it. The Dodger title that has long eluded you.
And coming up at 1:30, we will talk to Lindsay Theory. Then at 3 o'clock, Keyshawn will join us with his normal hit. And Chris Rose will be with us at 3:15 from MLB Network. It is a monster day. The Dodgers with a chance to close out the World Series. You're hearing it on the home of playoff baseball. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This could be the day, people. I'm in Arlington, Texas, Globe Life Field, where I will be later on tonight, gearing up for game number six,
yeah,
a closeout game for the Los Angeles Dodgers. By the way, thank you very much to Coors Light, Mountain Cold Refreshment, keeping California chill. Now, John, I said Corey Seager's been unbelievable this postseason, right? He's got 19 RBIs, tied for most in a single postseason, all behind, just behind David Freese. He's got 22 hits this postseason, one hit shy of tying Alcides Escobar in the 2015 World Series for most single postseason as a shortstop. He's got 8 home runs this postseason. That would be the record had it not been for Randy Arozarena. But the one thing I wanted to point out, a guy that is unheralded in this postseason so far, is Max Muncy, who has quietly has walked 20 times with a .461 on base percentage in the postseason. He's batting .389 in the World Series with a team leading 6 RBIs.
Yeah, but he threw that ball wide to Will Smith that cost us game 4. So that was
So you're going to take him off the board?
Well, he's not better than Seager. Seager should win it. I mean, here's how I would rank my MVP ballot. All right, if the Dodgers win it tonight, unless somebody goes full Reggie Jackson, yep, and hits like 3 home runs. And by the way, if Turner did that, Turner's had a very good series. So if Turner hit like 2 home runs,
he's had a great series.
It could be him. But Seager 1, Kershaw 2, Turner 3, Austin Barnes 4, and I'll put Muncy 5th because you just made that big speech.
Are you going to totally ignore the fact that Muncy is batting .389 and leads the team in RBIs in the World Series?
What's Turner batting?
Well, not a pop quiz on World Series numbers.
I thought you had the numbers in front of you, but
I just looked up Muncy, .389 with a team leading 6 RBIs in the World Series. He's got to be on everybody's World Series MVP ballot. I still think there are sentimental people like me who think, given the fact that this is the first time that Clayton Kershaw has ever won 2 games in a single 7 game series, he gets the sentimental vote. Although he is not going to throw tonight. Dave Roberts talks about who is and who is not available for tonight's game.
It's not do or die, but I think that just the mindset is we're going to do everything we can to win game 6, knowing that we have Walker starting game 7 and, and Julio as well, as far as kind of pitching. So I think outside of Walker and Julio and obviously Clayton, everyone else is in play.
All on deck. Bueller, Rios, and Kershaw off the board, but everybody else is on deck for tonight. And, John, close game. Let's put the Dodgers in a one-run game. Let's put them in that 6-5 proverbial game,
yep,
that hypothetical game again. Who do you want on the mound for the Dodgers?
Okay, so it's 4-3 Dodgers. We're going to the ninth?
Yes, going to the ninth.
I either want Gratterall or Joe Kelly. And if Kenley Jansen is even in the bullpen, I am turning the game off. I don't want Kenley Jansen under any circumstances. Who do you want?
See, I want Trinan to get the save.
Well, he's pitched 3 games in a row.
I think Trinan has been great.
They had an off day yesterday, but he's pitched 3 games in a row. That's the only thing. So I wouldn't mind Trinan.
I think so has Brisder, by the way.
No, Gratterall didn't pitch in the last game, did he? I don't think he pitched in the last game.
Yeah, you're right. He did not. He warmed up and did not come in and pitch. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I love Trinan. I love the way Trinan's throwing.
Okay. So of these stats, okay, what do you put?
Yep.
What is most impressive to you? All right. Batting average, on base percentage, slugging, or OPS?
OPS is the one that matters
for
me.
Yep. So in this series, Corey Seager's OPS is 1.432, number one on the team. Okay. Number two on the
team. That's huge. 1432.
Yeah. Number two on the team, Justin Turner, 1209. Number three on the team, Jock Peterson, 1.155, and then your guy Max Muncy is fourth with a still a very good number, 1.133 for Muncy, which is a great OPS. But it's Seager.
All four of those are fantastic.
Yeah, but and so it's Seager's to lose. I mean, Mace, Seager has been. He's batting .471. His slugging percentage is .824. His on base percentage is .600. I mean, he's .609. I mean, Seager is a one man wrecking crew. All right.
Yeah, he really is.
Speaking of that, Dodger lineup's out. Take a shot. Go.
Well, the easy parts of the lineup are obviously Mookie is going to bat leadoff.
Correct.
Corey Seager is obviously going to bat second.
Yep.
JT has been in the three hole for a while now.
Yep.
Then you go lefty. Muncy.
Correct. You're 4-for-4.
I think they're going to throw. I think they're going to catch Austin Barnes tonight. So I'll go DH Will Smith.
Correct. 5-for-5.
And then comes Bellinger.
6-for-6.
And now it's totally a wild guess. Yep. I'll say Kike at second base.
Chris Taylor at second base. That's your first base. All right.
Left field, it can't be Jock. It can't be, could be Kike. I'll say that's Pollock.
Correct. AJ Pollock in left, and then you already figured out who's Barnes. Batting nine. Right.
And then
I like that. I like that lineup.
Yeah, I do too.
I would have argued that instead of Will Smith at DH, maybe Kike there.
Will Smith
has come up with some clutch hits. Yeah. But here's a weird thing. Will Smith in this World Series.
Yep.
Is batting .143. So he's had some timely hits.
What's Barnes batting?
Barnes has been really good. This is surprising. Austin Barnes in the World Series is 1-for-10. He's batting .100.
Yeah.
I thought he was better than that. You know who's not hitting? And now that I'm looking at these numbers, it surprises me. 3-for-19. Cody.
Oh yeah, Cody.
Batting .158. Mookie Betts is only 5-for-22, .227. But Cody and Mookie.
By the way, here's a good argument for Austin Barnes. Dodgers are 6-1 with Austin Barnes at catcher in the postseason. Dodgers are 7-5 when Will Smith starts. And one of the things
six that's and
important
one, did
is
you say?
6-1 with Austin Barnes starting at catcher. Yes. He is an elite pitch framer. He will actually get you strikes.
Well, here's the thing,
which
Mace,
makes a huge difference.
Here's something you should watch for if you're going to watch the game tonight. And frankly, who isn't?
Okay.
Jock Peterson's not in the starting lineup, but he's 4-for-10 with 2 home runs. He's batting .400, mostly against right-handed pitchers. The minute Tampa brings in a right-handed pitcher, you got to find a way to get Jock in the game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Blake Snell, the starter, is left-handed, and he's the guy who shut out the Dodgers for 4 innings in Game 3.
Yeah, they chased him in the 4th in that game. Remember, he was throwing a no-hitter there for a while.
Yep.
And the Dodgers broke that up in the 4th inning. And I don't even think he didn't even make it to the 5th. I think he's 4-2/3. And didn't. I know the Dodgers
didn't get a hit until the 5th, right?
What's the longest performance in the postseason so far? I guess it's
Bueller.
Kershaw, 6 innings.
Bueller.
Did Bueller go 7?
Yeah,
did he go 6?
I think he went 7. Wait, I can tell you. He's only pitched 1 game, right?
Right, only 1 game.
Okay, so let me find the Dodgers pitching. Walker Bueller, innings pitched 6. You're right, he went 6.
Yeah, 6 innings, yeah.
So Kershaw or
Bueller. There is no workhorse starter anymore in Major League Baseball. I didn't see one in the early part of the playoffs either. This is just the way the game has evolved, and it irritates some people. They're like, whatever happened to the guy that threw 9 innings and got me a shutout and 12 strikeouts? That guy is not out there anymore.
By the way,
that guy does not exist.
How does Blake Treinen have an ERA of 6.75? Did he get blown up in a game?
Yeah, he got blown up in one game. I think it was in a third of an inning.
Okay.
He gave up 200 runs. So that's skewing things a little
bit. Is there
a
scenario where you'd like to see Dylan Floro pitch tonight?
Boy, it depends. It depends on how Gonsolin goes, right?
Dylan Floro's ERA in the World Series is 10.80. It's the same as Kenley Jansen's. Everybody thinks Kenley Jansen is like the worst pitcher ever. He's got it. Dylan Floro has identical statistics. They've both pitched in two games. Floro has pitched 1.2 innings. So has Kenley. And they have identical ERAs, 10.80.
The second pitcher into this game, John, I think is going to be Alex Wood, who was effective against them previously, and I think Alex Wood is an arm that can give them some length.
You know what his ERA in the World Series is?
No.
0.0.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Him and Adam Kolarik have 0.0.
Kolarik, by the way, was really good the other night.
Gratterall is 0.0.
Okay, so those are the three guys that have not been scored upon at all.
All right, coming up next, ladies and gentlemen, each and every week we bring on our ESPN Rams reporter, Lindsay Theory, and try and ask her a series of questions intended to embarrass her. That will happen next.
Yeah, we'll also mention that the Rams are 5-2 after hammering the Bears last night.
And another Mythical Money. Mythical Money last night, I bet my $7,000 that Walker Buehler run me. Here's my thing with the Rams. Letting it ride.
Oh.
They go into Miami next week. I don't care what the spread is. 14K, let it ride.
Wow. That's bold, man.
I think the Rams look great.
Yeah, they've looked fantastic. Yeah, I believe me, it was a great Monday night.
You're gonna throw a rookie quarterback against the Rams. That's an insult to Aaron Donald.
Tua, meet Aaron. Yeah. All right. Coming up next, Lindsay Theory, the Rams Notebook, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, Lindsay Theory's appearance brought to you by Corona Extra. It was a very happy night in this hotel room in Arlington, Texas, as the Rams pounced on and defeated the Chicago Bears last night.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because they reloaded the vending machine.
That too. The Rams improved to 5-2, and joining us right now, brought to you by Corona Extra, is Lindsay Theory. Hey, Lindsay, how are you?
Hey, guys. How's it going this afternoon?
Lindsay, it is going excellent. The Bears are not good, are they?
The Bears' offense is not good. The Bears' defense is good.
It just seemed to me that and that was my first question for you. Was that the Rams' defense with, like, an extraordinary performance, or would any defense in the NFL have shut down that Bears' offense? What did you think?
I think it was a combination of both. I think the Rams' defense absolutely played up to its potential. They played really great. But that being said, yes, the Bears' offense is a unit that struggled all season. The Bears did come in 5-1, but there were a lot of questions about whether that was a legit 5-1 or really whether it was kind of a facade. I think we saw that offense last night really, really struggled. And again, like, give all the credit to the Rams. They kept the pressure on Nick Foles. The secondary stepped up, had two interceptions. They played really physical. They played really sound. So you don't want to take anything away from the Rams. But that offense isn't exactly the measuring stick in the NFL.
Let me ask you an unusual follow-up question. Is it facade or facade? What is the correct word?
Facade.
There?
What is wrong with you?
It's facade.
All right. I just wanted to make sure.
You spend 2 weeks in Texas, you forget English? What the hell?
Yeah. They don't speak English down here.
They speak Texan.
Lindsay, exactly. So the one thing I'll say, I'm curious about, what is the difference between, because a lot of the personnel is the same, what is the difference between Wade Phillips' defense and Brandon Staley's defense? In a thumbnail.
I think they just pressure the quarterback more, which is interesting to say, right? Because I think the pass rushers The outside pass rushers were a little bit stronger than what they have this season. But they keep the pressure on the quarterback. They also deploy more defensive backs. They've moved Jalen Ramsey to play inside, which has really allowed them to capitalize on his physicality and just kind of all the potential that he has. I mean, as a lockdown corner, don't get me wrong, he was fantastic, arguably the best in the NFL. But now you're really getting him involved more in the game versus just, you know, locking down one side of the field.
Lindsay Theory, our Rams reporter, is our guest. Lindsay, were you at SoFi last night or did you watch on TV?
If the games are in LA, I'm at them, all in.
Okay, so I don't know if they made a big deal about this on TV, and I don't know if you noticed it. And the reason I'm asking this question is maybe he's always done it, but Johnny Hecker, who had an unbelievable game punting, he kept pinning the Bears inside the 10-yard line, was kicking the ball sideways. So picture a punter holding the ball and then dropping it and kicking it. Instead of it facing with the two pointed ends of the ball, he was dropping it horizontally.
Like a frisbee.
Yeah, has he always done that?
Johnny's been in the NFL for 9 years, so I can't say he's always done that. Because I don't know. But I know for the last few seasons, at least, that he has done that on occasion. I mean, Johnny Hecker has every tool in his punting toolbox that you can think of. I mean, this guy knows exactly how to kick the ball to place it where he wants to place it. I mean, he's not just going out there and giving it a boot. It is so strategic how he decides to hold the ball, how he decides to kick the ball. He's got different ways to punt it, so it spins one direction, bounces another direction. I mean, this guy, punting is an absolute art, and he executes it at the highest level.
So last night we saw a lot of Darrell Henderson. We saw a lot of Malcolm Brown. We did not see a lot of Cam Akers. Has he sort of fallen out of this three-man rotation to some degree?
Yeah, I think he has. I know Sean has mentioned multiple times that he wants to get him more involved, but it kind of like sounds reminiscent almost of seasons past with other guys where the Rams obviously have high hopes for Cam Akers. He did miss time, not his fault, but he had that rib injury, kept him out of the lineup for a couple of games, and now it's kind of like this offense has moved on almost without him. Darrell Henderson really asserted himself in those games. Malcolm Brown continues to be really steady and play his role, and I think as you kind of see, Jared Goff is spreading the ball around a lot, and it seems like Cam Akers has gotten a little bit squeezed out of the rotation there.
Lindsay, have we seen the last of Sam Sloman as the kicker?
Bye, Sam.
He had a kick blocked, which I think is probably, even if it wasn't his fault, is not going to reflect well on him. They already brought Kai Forbath in. Now Forbath, I would assume, has cleared COVID. Is that it for Sloman?
Yeah, Sloman actually has been officially released. That happened just a couple hours ago. And you mentioned that block kick. It's a block kick, yes, but it's a little bit indicative, and that's not a little bit, it's really indicative of the issues they've been having with Samuel. Just low kicks, low trajectories. I mean, that ball was like a line drive. I think you could have blocked it. Mace certainly could have blocked it.
Nah, he can't jump.
Oh, I absolutely could.
Mason has no leap. His vertical leap is like 3 inches.
My vertical is just gigantic.
I don't think you needed a vertical leap to block that kick.
All you needed was 3 inches.
Okay, so Lindsay, here's a couple of weird ones. When the Rams defense was making good plays, they were running down and mugging in front of a big screen. Are they under the impression that that's a camera, or what are they doing there?
I wish I knew. I can't wait to ask some players this week because, you know, because we're not allowed on the field this year, I have no idea what that screen is, and I have no idea what they were doing. And, in the middle of the game, like, you can't, from the press box, the vantage point, you can't really see because they're kind of crowded up against the end barrier there. So I'm not really sure what was going on.
Well, wait a minute. You do see those guys. There is a camera there because they can cut away to it. It's like a big YouTube TV sort of thing. But John, when they all mug for it, they cut to it during the broadcast.
Right. But I mean, I'm wondering why they do it in front of that one screen. Is it a combination screen slash camera?
I saw one picture on social media, I think is where I saw it, where it's like they can see themselves in the screen. So I wonder if they like to, you know, it's almost like a selfie. Maybe they can see themselves. You know, this is so far beyond me. I mean, this is like Gen Z kind of stuff. I'm not sure.
There you go. All right. And then more importantly, Lindsay, I'm betting a bunch of mythical money every week on the Rams. And so I won again last night, and I'm just letting it ride for this game in Miami coming up, because I think it's disrespectful for Miami to start a rookie quarterback against Aaron Donald. The Rams are a 3.5-point favorite. What's your early handicap of that game? Rams going to Miami with Tua at QB for the Dolphins.
Easy with all that betting lingo there, John. I barely know how to play blackjack.
Okay.
Let me say that. But going to Miami, I think it's crazy that the Dolphins are going to throw Tua Tagovailoa out there in his first NFL start against not only Aaron Donald but Jalen Ramsey. I mean, you have the best defensive player in the game in Donald, and then Jalen Ramsey is like the best defensive back out there. So, I mean, that's a tall task. The Rams defense is firing all cylinders right now. They are among the top ranked defenses in the NFL. So I would totally bet on the Rams if that's what you're asking. I don't know what your handicap is, but
yeah,
bet on
just
the Rams.
Just 3.5. That's it.
Take the Rams. They're going to win by more than 3.5.
Excellent.
All right. Lindsay, yeah. Last thing for you. How closely are you following the World Series?
Pretty closely. You know, the fiance is a huge Dodgers fan. So
boy. I knew I liked that guy.
Dodgers. Yeah, he's pumped.
So, like, you guys are going to watch tonight. The hardest thing about this, you guys, is we can't watch collectively. Like, this will be a very fun night to go to a bar. You know, but nobody can go.
Well, do you know what's fun here living in the South Bay? I mean, on one hand, you can hear your neighbors because everyone lives within 5 feet of each other. On the other hand, you get to hear your neighbors. So it's like when there's a big play, you hear the echoes coming up from the restaurants on the pier. You hear the neighborhood just start screaming. So it's like, even though we're all kind of apart, it's a little bit like we're all together. You know, you just got to love your neighbor because you really do live right next to them.
Yeah, I'm sure my neighbors are ready with their bottle rockets because they sent them up after the Lakers championship. So I'm sure they saved some for this Dodgers championship. I mean, I actually think it's actually a cool moment because you can hear everybody around you going nuts when the Dodgers actually win a game, or like for the Lakers when the Lakers won the championship. So I actually think that's really cool. One year, I don't remember what year, John. It would have been early 90s. When did the Lakers win the championship? Early 90s.
It was late 90s. They won it in 88, and then the next time they won it was in 2000.
It must have been 88. I was out here, and I was in a car, and I heard everybody beeping the car when the Lakers won the championship.
Well,
but it's about the only community way we have to celebrate right now.
Yeah, all right. So, Lindsay, now, unfortunately, you don't get to go to Miami, right?
I do not. Nope. Still never been to Miami. Don't get to go on Sunday.
Yeah, I got screwed out of a week in Miami on the Laker deal. So it's another COVID casualty. Okay. So I'll end with this. By the way, Lindsay, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but I know one of your neighbors. Okay. So when you fly during the basketball season, we're friends with all the flight attendants.
So, Jana, are you from Jana?
Yeah, Jana, who is like the coolest flight attendant of all time.
On Delta.
She's awesome. So she goes, "Hey, John, I live near Lindsay Theory." And I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And she goes, "What?" I go, like, she's a pain in the ass, right? Like, biggest jerk in the world. And she would not believe me, Lindsay. So you've done well. I tried to sell her for about 5 minutes that you had a dark side. And she absolutely would not.
Dark side. She's the best, and her husband is a captain at Delta, and so he's awesome.
Oh, you guys are playing the same game there.
And it is all of the family. That's terrific.
Yeah, she's awesome.
So, Lindsay, do you have any idea why I always draw the stout, mean flight attendant?
I don't know. You know what? Everyone has good days and bad days.
Yeah.
Yes.
Squeaky wheel.
I'll just leave it at that.
That's why. Squeaky wheel.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Lindsay. Have a good day.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Bye.
See ya.
Thanks, Lindsay. All right. And Lindsay's appearance brought to you by Corona Extra. Our game day beach is back. Always enjoy the game with Corona Extra, an official cerveza of the Los Angeles Rams. Coming back next with more of the World Series, and we'll hear from tonight's starting pitcher, Tony Gonsolin. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. 710 ESPN, Mason Ireland. What is going on? Live from Arlington, Texas, getting ready for tonight's Game 6 at Globe Life Field. John is back in L.A., but we're all together today because the Dodgers have got a chance to clinch their first World Series in 32 years. Now, the guy on the spot tonight is Tony Gonsolin, who is getting the start. Here he is on when he knew he was going to get the start for Game 6.
They told me after the Game 2 opener thing that I was going to start Game 6. So I've known for a little bit, and I've had a lot of time to prepare, and it feels like I'm back on like a normal routine like I had all season.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair question. I mean, all of a sudden, you've been a starting pitcher all year long, and Dave Roberts says, you're going to be the opener. Just give us an inning. Just give us two innings. To me, as a starting pitcher, that's almost, I don't want to say offensive, but it would bug me that I've been a starter all year long, and I've had great success, and my manager only has two innings worth of confidence in me.
Yeah, I mean, part of me wants to say that if you're in the World Series, you pitch when your name is called. That
sure.
that everything else is just an excuse. For example, when did Urias pitch Game 4?
Urias pitched Game 4 on Saturday.
So, and today's Tuesday.
Wait, who was it, John, that pitched Game 4?
Urias, right?
Hey, you got
Urias.
It.
Urias. Yeah, you're on it. You're on it.
So could he pitch tonight?
No, Dave Roberts has ruled him out for tonight. The three players he's ruled out are Kershaw, Bueller, and Urias.
So he's saving them for tomorrow.
Yeah, so Urias we could see tomorrow following up Walker Bueller. And that was the recipe for Game 7 of the National League Championship Series.
Wait, what do you mean tomorrow? It's going to happen tonight.
Tomorrow. I totally forgot.
Come on,
Mace. Why are we planning for tomorrow? Listen to Jorge. He's got this thing in the bag already. Yeah, a lot of people have this thing in the bag already. Right. I've seen weirder stuff, man.
Tonight's the night.
Tonight is the night.
Tonight is the night. Okay, I'm with you. Tonight is the night. This is it. Let's not get a Game 7. I don't know if I can take a Game 7. Game 7s are scary as hell. That's why it was the Lakers. Thank God they wrapped it up in 6. I did not want to see a Game 7.
All right, so we're doing the scoop next, right?
Yes, we're going to do the scoop next.
So a dumb question that the three of you can help me with. All right, this morning, and don't lecture me because I know you're not supposed to put Q-tips.
I am going to lecture you.
Okay, I know you're not supposed to put Q-tips in your ears, but I've been doing it since I was in college, and I always clean my ears with Q-tips.
Yeah.
So this morning, I was cleaning my ear with a Q-tip, and my dog ran in under me, and I popped the Q-tip into my ear, and and it hurt really bad, and now my ear is bleeding. I don't have to go get that looked at, do
I? Yeah, you probably ruptured your eardrum.
I did, but yeah. I Googled it, and they said that if you don't have hearing loss and you don't have an earache, then you probably can't do anything about it anyway. Is that true?
There's a good chance you'll get an
ear infection, though. You're asking the right people, because I am an ear expert. So are you, Lindsay, right? And Jorge, all about ears.
As somebody who used to get ear infections all the time, if you get an ear infection, you're going to end up wanting to go to, like, I don't know, but I have a very low pain threshold. And I've had to go to the ER for the pain that ear infections have caused before. So I would keep an eye on that.
Yeah, I have an ER aversion. I don't want to go to the ER.
No, you definitely don't, especially right now. But bleeding from the ears does not sound like a good symptom.
Well, it's
to
not
have.
Like gushing. It's just, you know, I mean, I'm not like out of a Monty Python movie.
Just wrap your head in a bandage.
In a gauze.
Try to staunch
the
bleeding.
I can still hear out of the ear.
I watch CSI. What if you bleed out from your ear?
Okay, if I bleed out, who's doing the show tomorrow? Put Momo on. I'll be mad because it's going to be the Dodgers celebration show tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah. Man, I cannot wait. I cannot wait. I'm still so friggin' nervous. You know, John, what the worst moments of the last 4 years have been I shouldn't say that because there have been worse things that have happened. But 2017, watching the Astros celebrate at Dodger Stadium, and then 2018, watching the Red Sox celebrate at Dodger Stadium. I hate watching other teams celebrate.
Well, no one is going to celebrate at Dodger Stadium this year. So you got.
By the way, this Game 6 would have been at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, 6 and 7, right?
Yeah, we could have closed it out at Dodger Stadium in a different world, but this is the world we live in, so we'll have to settle for what we got. And I still think, no matter what, this is a great moment in LA history. I think the town is going to erupt. The Lakers give us championships on a pretty regular basis. I mean, it was a decade between championships, but we've got 17 of them. The Dodgers have been so close 3 of the last 4 years. They've got to close this one out. They've got to close this one out. And tonight is the night to do it. I believe in Catman. I believe in Tony Gonsolin. I say Catman gets it done. That's a terrible cat. Get like a tiger roar. Play a kitty cat.
No, I am going to root for Tony Gonsolin despite the fact that I'm a dog person. I'm not going to refer to him as you did. That name is an insult. It makes Catman him seem less than tough.
He calls himself Catman, John.
Exactly. I'm not. You can't give yourself your own nickname. What would you say about Gratterall? Gratterall wants to give himself his own nickname.
Yeah, no. Everybody wants a Gratterall to be known as the Bazooka, and he wants to be known as the Buffalo, and all of his teammates call him the Buffalo.
Yeah, well, you can't give yourself your own nickname.
His teammates gave him the nickname.
D-Swing. You can't give yourself your own nickname.
All right, we'll see the Buffalo tonight. All right, coming up next for you is The Scoop, everything in sports that we haven't talked about yet. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.